Well, hello again, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the DVD Marquee. 1 month after I promised you we'd be back on a regular basis with more frequent shows and all that, but hey, that was before yours truly, your humble host, Jeff Rosato, entered the world of an 80-hour work week. Yes, I was working two jobs to get caught up on some bills and such, and I was thinking, hey, I can juggle two 40-hour a week jobs and continue a twice-weekly podcast, no problemo. Boy, was I wrong. Although I hesitate to talk about personal things on a podcast, sometimes I think stuff like that is a little self-indulgent, and I'd rather do a more traditional radio-type broadcast for this kind of thing we got going on here. But I am happy to say that I have landed a new job with enough pay that will help me get caught up on some of those bills. So now I am able to not only stay awake like a normal person, I'm also able to get back to my two loves of film on DVD and podcasting. And to kind of make up for our long overdue latest episode, we're going to talk about a couple of titles that some of you guys may still be debating on renting or possibly buying that have come out within the last month, Because I Said So, and Peter O'Toole's Oscar-nominated turn in Venus. And then at the end of the show, I'll be joined by my good buddy Stan Williams as we talk about the virtues of Apocalypto. Well, virtues on one side. I wonder who liked it and who didn't. I guess you're just going to have to hang around and find out. But for right now, let's talk family comedy with Diane Keaton and Mandy Moore in Because I Said So.
I was just in the neighborhood and I thought I'd drop by.
Okay, Mom, but please, you have to start calling me. I have a date that's on its way over right now.
But Lily, you look so beautiful. Are you sure you want to wear that dress, though?
It was such a hit the first time.
I know, but don't you think you gotta mix it up a little bit?
What for? Well, okay, you know, you're right. It looks perfect on you and everything about it. I'm just sort of wondering if maybe you ought to button those buttons.
No, I like it like this.
Millie, you look like you're asking for it.
I am asking for it.
Okay, all right.
I have been in love with Diane Keaton for a little over 2.5 decades now, ever since I first saw Play It Again, Sam, that great romantic comedy that she did with Woody Allen. And so it kind of breaks my heart just a little bit to say that I thought this movie was a little bit beneath her in terms of the storyline and some of the things that she's given to do. There's a part in this film where she's trying to drive a car and maneuver a computer at the same time, and it was just so over the top. I just felt so bad for her. But that doesn't necessarily mean that I dislike this movie. In fact, I'm kind of on the fence about giving it a positive review, but let me tell you some of the positive things that I did like about it. Well, I'll tell you what. First of all, let's get to the negative. It's kind of a cookie-cutter plot. It's the kind of routine that you've seen in these types of films before. You know, mother concerned about youngest daughter who isn't married yet, and she's going to try and play matchmaker, yada, 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 yada. You know, and it's just, you know, it's just a road that we've traveled down too many times before. That being said, some of the performances really made this film watchable for me. There's a great cast in this film, or at least as far as the female leads. Given my disgust at some of the things that Diane Keaton was forced to do in this film, you know, she's still, you know, I'll watch her reading the telephone book, you know. I mean, it's not a totally worthless role for her. But I tell you, I did like a lot of the female supporting cast. I'm a huge fan of Lauren Graham from back in the days of news radio. And, of course, you know, a lot of you guys are familiar with her from Gilmore Girls. And my only beef with her on the film is that she's barely in it. Now, I don't know how anybody could take an actress like Lauren Graham and give her pretty much a nothing role. I mean, she's barely in the film. Just like Piper Perabo, who isn't a favorite of mine, but she's made some interesting choices, and I think that she's going to be an actress to continue to watch in the years to come. But the main reason why I enjoyed this film is because of the performance of Mandy Moore. I've seen her work in a couple of films, Saved and more recently American Dreams, which was, for my money, one of the most underrated films of last year. She was just perfect in that role as the so-called American sweetheart on the American Idol-ish type show in which she catapulted to fame, and she just did a wonderful job. There's a relaxed charm about her, an effortlessness in her acting. She holds her own with Diane Keaton, and I think if the script and storyline had been just a little bit less generic, this movie would have created more of a buzz. As far as features go, there's a nice little 5-minute making of, kind of generic, but it gives you an insight into how much fun everybody had on the set. Nothing really new there. Designing a Wilder World, you know, takes you behind the clothing choices and so on. And there's a music video for a song that I can't recall. Sorry, folks. And more. But anyway, it's not much of a package. It's pretty thin on the extras. But then again, Mandy Moore sold this film for me. So in the end, I'm going to give, because I said so, 3 microwave popcorn bags out of 5.
Is her name Venus?
No. Venus is a goddess, accompanied by Eros. She creates love and desire in us mortals, leading often to foolishness and despair. The usual shit. For most men, a woman's body is the most beautiful thing they will ever see.
What's the most beautiful thing a girl sees? Do you know?
Her first child.
Now, setting up our review of the next film that we're going to talk about, the next DVD we're going to talk about, Venus, I have to say that I'm a big fan of Peter O'Toole, but not in the way that you might think. I have yet to see Lawrence of Arabia. I haven't seen Beckett, which has just come out in a remastered print. It had a short theatrical run this year, if I'm not mistaken, and it just came out on DVD. Also stars Richard Burton. What a combo that must be. And I've seen bits and pieces of My Favorite Year, but I can't really say that I've seen a full Peter O'Toole film. But the reason why I like him so much is because I've seen him a lot on talk shows throughout the years, and he is just a natural-born storyteller. He's just, you know, a natural-born raconteur, and he tells great stories about his life in the English theater and his relationships with people like Richard Burton and Richard Harris, I think, and others of the like while becoming a film star in Europe. And he just, there's something about the guy, you know, you cannot help but like him. So I was really happy when Buena Vista sent me a copy of his Oscar-nominated turn in Venus. And I have to tell you guys, it is a dynamite movie. It's one of the best movies I've seen in quite some time. And most of you have probably heard the storyline by now. He's a gentleman by the name of Maurice. He's kind of in the autumn of his years. He's a stage actor, a film actor, and he has prostate cancer at the beginning of the film. And he has this love of women that is very, well, you know, it's kind of lusty in a way, but he appreciates them in an artistic fashion, like fine sculptures and pieces of art, paintings, and it's not offensive in any way. At least I didn't take it as such. And he's about, I would say, in his mid-70s, the character. And he becomes really taken with the granddaughter of his best friend. And she's played by Jodie Whittaker.
The other man who loved you, was he not kind to you?
He was kind. For a time. We had champagne. And there were roses.
Then you got pregnant.
Does everyone know?
It's happened to girls before.
Then he stopped being kind. He went the other way. A long way that way. You were engaged. I didn't know. It wasn't a miscarriage. My mum called it that. It were an abortion. And she made me.
Terrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
This film has everything going for it, from its screenplay, its cinematography, its cast, which not only includes Peter O'Toole, but also well-known British actors by the name of Leslie Phillips, Richard Griffiths, and there's even a bit of a cameo from the great Vanessa Redgrave, who plays O'Toole's ex-wife in this film. And even though they have just a handful of scenes together, they're simply dynamite, and their chemistry is just really something to see. It's great to see these two English pros interacting. It's almost like a mini masterclass in acting. It's a wonderful film. I can't say enough about it. It touched me on so many levels. It's funny. It's sad. It's beautiful. O'Toole, I tell you, if it wasn't for Forest Whitaker's performance in The Last King of Scotland last year, there's no doubt in my mind, with apologies to Will Smith, who did a wonderful job in The Pursuit of Happiness, I do believe that minus Forest Whitaker in the Best Actor category this past year, O'Toole would have taken home a much and well-deserved acting Oscar. I believe he's got an honorary one, but oh my goodness. I hope that he has one more great role awaiting him, because this man, given his reputation and the quality of films that he's been in over the years, he so deserves an award for a singular performance. As far as extras on the disc, there's not many included, but they're well worthwhile. You've got Venus, a real work of art. Around a 20-minute making of that covers all the bases of the film. Very nicely. There's a very cool commentary track with director Roger Michell and producer Kevin Loder. A handful of deleted scenes, most of which were pretty much expendable, in my opinion. And to top things off, it's got a great looking picture and a superb 5.1 audio track. So, highly recommended, Venus. It's now out on DVD from Touchstone Home Video. Well worth renting or picking up. And now, folks, it's time for the spotlight disc of this week's show, Mel Gibson's Apocalypto. I sat down with my good friend Stan Williams to discuss this film, and it kind of turned into a battle royale, so get your helmets ready. What did you think about Mel Gibson's Apocalypto?
You want to cut right to it, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Cutting right to the chase, I hated it.
Oh, you're kidding.
What about you?
I thought it was one of the best movies I've ever seen. I mean, in the documentary that's included on the disc, you know, I was trying to come up with a comparison, and this movie kind of reminded me a lot of the likes of, say, Ben-Hur and Cleopatra. I mean, this is like movie making on an epic scale that you just don't see anymore.
Really?
I mean, just one man's opinion, but I'm willing to hear you out, man.
Okay. Oh, no, my opinion is, I think in the about the 10 years that I've had a DVD player, I think there's been one movie that I stopped and just about halfway through and just stopped and quit watching. And if we didn't have to review this one, I think I would have quit about half an hour in.
Oh, man, you're crazy, man.
I hated it. It's nothing. It's like, the movie starts, you know, when the movie starts with, guys tricking another guy into eating boar testicles, and then it just goes downhill from there. I don't know. All it was, it seemed to me, was like for an hour and a half. It's like these guys, you know, you have this tribe, and then you have another tribe that comes in, and they kidnap them, and it's like an hour and a half of them dragging them through the jungle. wow.
Well, I think there was a little bit more to that. I mean, I think there was like the tension of all these tribe members being taken away, and you didn't have any kind of feeling for, you know, all of these people, just, you know, their lives destroyed. I mean, at all. I mean, didn't you find that moving or exhilarating? Well, I don't want to say exhilarating because, you know, it's not the kind of thing you want to happen to your family, but, you know.
No, of course not. But I mean, it was just so much. It was just, you know, you were just being hit over the head with it so much. You know, it's like they're throwing babies around and they're doing this and they're doing this. And after a while, it's just, you know, enough is enough. It just kind of, to me, it seemed like, you know, this may be one of the, I mean, it seemed like, I know it wasn't at the time, but it seemed like one of the most brutal movies I've ever seen, which would have been fine if there were anything else to the movie. I mean, okay, we learn that this is a brutal culture. What else did we learn?
At its heart, it's just an action movie and not really anything else. But I felt that, you know, it was an interesting look at the Mayan culture, and I admired that it was done in that particular language and it was subtitled and everything. And I'm with you about, you know, kind of the gross parts of, you know, the first half hour. And it does take, to me, it took a half hour to get going, you know. But as far as the violence and stuff, I have seen a lot more in the way of violence in other films, things like RoboCop and stuff like that. So it didn't really faze me that much. But at the same time, you know, I have to give credit to Mel Gibson and the other people that worked on this film for making it a very believable look at, you know, this period in time, which really hasn't been documented that much on film.
Technically, it was well done, but I really didn't see, I mean, aside from, like, you know, a glimpse of what, 15 or 20 minutes when they're at a temple and they're having sacrifices. I mean, other than that, it's, you know, it's just, it's guys running around in the jungle.
So basically, you didn't feel any kind of excitement during the spear sequence. And by the way, if Mark Burnett, the creator of Survivor, is listening, I think that this sequence is probably a great way to kind of get the ratings to kind of pick up for the show if you adapted this kind of challenge into the competition. Maybe that's just me. But anyway, I have to admit that I think this is probably on par with Braveheart as far as the movies that Mel Gibson has directed over the last 15 years. I think it's just a superlative achievement, and I'm hoping that people will give it a chance. I mean, it may not be for everybody, but I walked away pretty impressed, I have to admit.
I mean, it's basically, I mean, it seems kind of like a revenge movie. You know, it's like, hey, look, these guys are bad. They kill babies. Hey, look, these guys are bad. They cut off people's heads. Hey, look, these guys are bad. Hey, look, these guys are bad. Hey, look, these guys are bad. And it's just, after a while, it was like, okay, enough is enough. It's like, that's all there was to the movie. It was like, brutality, brutality, brutality. Okay, now this guy runs away. And like, sure, they do possibly the best job ever in making you hate the bad guys. But after a while, I was like, what's the point of this? Why am I watching this? It's like, well, of course I want the guy to get away, and of course I want the guy to have revenge, but...
Stan, I think that you just missed the whole point of the movie. There's like three really good stories going on here. You have the survival of a son inspired by his father. You have the incredible story of a mother protecting her child and an unborn child at the same time.
And I've got to admit, one of the, and a slight spoiler alert here for anybody who hasn't seen the movie.
Okay.
the part where the woman is standing on the rock and the baby pops out underwater. I was like, you have got to be kidding me. You have got to be kidding me. Hey, look, the baby popped out. I don't know what it is. This movie just, like I said, it just didn't do anything to me. It just felt like beating me over the head for 2 hours and 20 minutes of random senseless brutality, which, and I understand that it's historically correct, but it's kind of like, I've liked Mel Gibson for a long time. I like Braveheart, fine. You know, it would be a cheap and easy joke, you know, to talk about the other problems he's had in the last year or so, but I've really got to admit, after seeing The Passion of the Christ and then this movie, they both have something in common in that they're just both over 2 hours of just sheer brutality. And it's like, and nothing else. I mean, I have to admit, I really did kind of like wonder about this guy after seeing both of these movies. Because if you look at The Passion of the Christ, and if you take away, this may sound ridiculous, if you take away the religious aspect of The Passion of the Christ, it's 2 hours of a guy being tortured.
You know, I can't comment on that because I haven't seen it, but, you know, I am familiar with the controversy surrounding that film. But, you know, you have to remember that, you know, that wasn't exactly a very, you know, that whole deal with, you know, with the crucifixion and all that was just not exactly family-friendly fare, you know. And I have to give Gibson credit for portraying it as it really was, because I think that was his message to Christians of all faiths and denominations or non-denominations have.
Yeah, but
it's just a very powerful moment, you know.
Because you're portraying something as it was doesn't mean it's making a riveting or good movie necessarily, you know. You could show 2 hours of a traffic jam and say, well, that's portraying the year 2007 as it was. I'm like, yeah, okay, you get props for being realistic, but it doesn't necessarily make for a good film.
Well, okay, I see that we both have our stands on this movie, and neither of us are going to back down. So let's just go ahead. I'm taking that you were so turned off by this movie, you didn't have a chance to go into the supplemental features at all.
I watched a little bit of the documentary, and that was about it.
It's a very well-made documentary. The amount of work that was put into this film, especially in costumes and makeup, is just mind-blowing. I hope he continues to direct films in the future. It would not surprise me at all if he hung up his acting hat and decided to concentrate on directing. But I would like to see him try something a little bit, you know, maybe a little bit less violent, maybe something like a Western or something like that. You know, I just think he's got incredible, he has an incredible knack for visuals and telling the story. So, I walked away really impressed with the behind-the-scenes look at this film. There is one deleted scene that I did not get to. It sounds like, based on what I've heard, it doesn't really amount to much. And the commentary track, although I've only had a chance to listen to about the first 15 minutes of it, is really, you know, a laid-back, enjoyable, very witty at times. You know, I like Gibson because he doesn't take himself too seriously. You know, it's a good rapport with the writer of the film and co-writer of the film, I think. Anyway, we're divided, but I have to admit, I think it's well worth picking up. I think it's a great action movie in its own unique way.
Yeah, I think after this one, I think the next we can expect from Mel Gibson the 3-hour root canal of a movie.
You know, it's been almost 24 hours to the minute that Stan and I debated this film, and my jaw is still on the floor. I cannot believe he did not like this movie. But of course, you know, you can listen to Stan Williams, but trust Jeff Rosato. Wink, wink. And about the only thing I think that I can add to my thoughts from the conversation that I had with Stan is that the only negative that I could give the film, aside from getting off to kind of a slow start, was some sequences where it looked like he went from film-type images to high-definition video, and you could tell when it looked kind of video-ish, you know, when you transfer video to film, and it just kind of bothered me, and I hope that's not a trend that we're going to see in films in the years to come. If you're going to do a video film where you're transferring it from high-definition to a film, you need to shoot the whole film that way, not just go from like a natural looking, you know, classic cinema film, a celluloid or what have you, and then go to this high tech look. It was just very jarring, and most folks, you know, would probably not care or even notice, but to somebody like me, you know, it just stood out like a sore thumb. But other than that, Apocalypto on DVD from Touchstone Home Video gets 4.5 microwave popcorn bags out of 5. And folks, that's going to do it for this special expanded edition of the DVD Marquee. We thank you so much for your patience in waiting for our latest episode, and we are going to be back, Lord willing, with more regular shows in the weeks to come. Matter of fact, let me give you a little sneak peek at what we'll be looking at over the course of the next few shows. We're going to be taking a look at the horror film Primeval. Season 1 of Kyle XY, great show on ABC Family that's just now starting its second season. Couple of obscure titles that you're probably on the fence about renting or possibly buying, Smoking Aces, Color Me Kubrick with John Malkovich, the brand new two-disc edition of Rio Bravo, which is fantastic, a cornucopia of new titles from 20th Century Fox, including a director's cut of That Thing You Do from Tom Hanks, a long overdue reissue of Bedazzled, the original with Dudley Moore and Raquel Welch, and the DVD premiere of Judy Garland's first ever movie musical, Pigskin Parade. I know we got a lot of Judy Garland fans out there that collect her films on DVDs, so you'll want to hear about that. And as we get closer to the 4th of July holiday weekend, we're going to cook up a special show devoted to rental suggestions of recent titles you might not have yet gotten to in 2007. We'll give you a mix of the familiar and obscurities and some hidden gems that you may want to look for, may want to try and get to your video store of choice or online rental store of choice and get these in plenty of time to settle back with your friends and family over the Independence Day weekend. But for our next show, I'm very excited to tell you that we got our hands on the brand new special edition of Bill Murray's film debut, Meatballs. This is going to bring back a lot of memories for you guys, and I just had the chance to look at it, and I'm still sampling the extras, but boy, oh boy, what a banged-up job Sony did on this film, and that will be the centerpiece of our next DVD Marquee show, so listen up for that. And oh, and by the way, I didn't forget the George Feltenstein interview. We've still got that in the can, and we're probably going to post that probably in the next couple of weekends. It's a two-part edition, and I want to post that on a weekend so you guys can get a chance to listen to this, because it's a wonderful chat, and it will also give you some insight into some great stuff that Warner has planned, not only for the rest of 2007, Warner Home Video, that is, the stuff that they have planned for the rest of 2007, but also into the years to come. It's a great chat, and I'll keep you posted on when that is going to debut. So once again, for all of us at the DVD Marquee, my name is Jeffrey Rosato. My time is up. I thank you so much for yours, and we'll see you next time. Bye.